You're listening to Chemistry in Its Element, brought to you by Chemistry World, the magazine of the Royal Society of Chemistry.
Hello, this week, the element that's so indolent that scientists at one time thought that it wouldn't react with anything. But in the chemical world, laziness can have its advantages, especially if it's super quiet car tyres or a safe chemical with which to pump up your diving suit that you're after. Here's John Emsley.
It's lazy, it's hardworking, it's colourless, it's colourful. It's argon. Argon's name comes from the Greek word argos, meaning lazy. And indeed, for more than 100 years after its discovery, chemists were unable to get it to combine with any other element. But in the year 2000, chemists at the University of Helsinki, led by Markku Rasanen, announced the first ever compound, argon fluorohydride. They made it by condensing a mixture of argon and hydrogen fluoride onto cesium iodide at minus 265 degrees centigrade and exposing it to UV light. On warming just above minus 246 degrees centigrade, it reverted right back to argon and hydrogen fluoride. And no other process has ever induced argon to react. Indeed, it's a truly lazy element. There are 50 trillion tons of argon swirling around in the Earth's atmosphere. And this has slowly built up over billions of years, almost all coming from the decay of the radioactive isotope potassium-40, which has a half-life of 12.7 billion years. Although argon makes up 0.93% of the atmosphere, it evaded discovery until 1894, when the physicist Lord Rayleigh and the chemist William Ramsay identified it. In 1904, Rayleigh won the Nobel Prize for Physics, and Ramsay won the Nobel Prize for Chemistry for their work. The story of its discovery started when Rayleigh found that nitrogen extracted from the air had a higher density than that made by decomposing ammonia. The difference was small but real. Ramsay wrote to Rayleigh, suggesting that he should look for a heavier gas in the nitrogen got from the air, while Rayleigh should look for a lighter gas in that from ammonia. Ramsay removed all the nitrogen from his sample by repeatedly passing it over heated magnesium, with which nitrogen reacts to form magnesium nitrite. He was left with 1% which would not react, and found it was denser than nitrogen. Its atomic spectrum showed new red and green lines, confirming it a new element, although in fact it contains traces of the other noble gases as well, as we now know. Argon was first isolated in 1785 in Clapham, South London, by Henry Cavendish. He had passed electric sparks through air and absorbed the gases which formed, but he was puzzled that there remained an unreactive 1%. He didn't realise that he had stumbled on a new gaseous element. Most argon goes to making steel, where it is blown through the molten iron along with oxygen. Argon does the stirring while oxygen removes the carbon as carbon dioxide. It is also used when air must be excluded to prevent oxidation of metals, as in welding aluminium and in the production of titanium, to exclude air. Welding aluminium is done with an electric arc which requires a flow of argon at 10 to 20 litres per minute. Atomic energy fuel elements are protected with argon atmosphere during refining and reprocessing. The ultrafine metal powders needed to make alloys are produced by directing a jet of liquid argon at a jet of the liquid molten metal. Some smelters prevent toxic metal dust from escaping to the environment by venting them through an argon plasma torch. In this, argon atoms are electrically charged to reach temperatures of 10,000 degrees centigrade, and the toxic dust particles passing through it are turned into a blob of molten scrap. For a gas that is chemically lazy, argon has proved to be eminently employable. Illuminated signs glow blue if they contain argon, and bright blue if a little mercury is also present. Double glazing is even more efficient if the gap between the two panes of glass is filled with argon rather than just air, because argon is a poorer conductor of heat. The thermal conductivity of argon at room temperature, 300 degrees Kelvin, is 17.72 milliwatts per metre per degree, whereas for air it is 26 milliwatts per metre per degree. For the same reason, argon is used to inflate diving suits. Old documents and other things that are susceptible to oxidation can be protected by being stored in an atmosphere of argon. Blue argon lasers are used in surgery to weld arteries, destroy tumours and correct eye defects. The most exotic use of argon is in the tyres of luxury cars. Not only does it protect the rubber from attack by oxygen, it ensures less tyre noise when the car is moving at speed. Laziness can prove useful in the case of this element. Its high-tech uses range from double glazing and laser eye surgery to putting your name in lights.
John Emsley unlocking the secrets of the heavier-than-air noble gas, argon. Next week, would you marry this man?
It's almost never the case where the popular elements are that way because of their utility and interesting chemistry. But for gold and silver, it's all so superficial. They're more popular because they're prettier. My wife, for example, a non-chemist, wouldn't dream of wearing a copper wedding ring. That might have something to do with the fact that copper oxide has an annoying habit of dyeing your skin green. But if she only took the time to learn about copper, to get to know it some, maybe then she'd be likely to turn her back on the others and wear it with pride.
Steve Milan's back to Cross Your Palm with Copper on next week's Chemistry in Its Element. I hope you can join us. I'm Chris Smith. Thank you for listening and goodbye.
Chemistry in Its Element is brought to you by the Royal Society of Chemistry and produced by thenakedscientists.com. There's more information and other episodes of Chemistry in Its Element on our website at chemistryworld.org/elements.